Okay, I want to congratulate the birthdays again. They were great. And before I start, I'm going to ask God. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. Guide me today so I can carry your message. Amen. Okay, today we're getting to the nuts and bolts of how to get right with God. I thought I'd start with page 164. I said Wednesday that God is the answer. The whole purpose of the big book is to have me have a relationship with God which changes my personality, changes my attitudes towards life, gives me a power to live that I don't have so I can live a spiritual life. And it says, page 164, but I will not have the benefit of contact with you write this book. We cannot be sure. God will determine that. God determines that. So you must remember that your real reliance is always upon Him. It's not people. It's not the book. It's Him. Now we use people to get to Him. We use the book to carry, to understand the treasure map to God. But it is always upon Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. And He will show you and guide you. And I heard something, the people you're hanging around with now are the people you'll become. So like Courtney said, if you're hanging around people that are in the book and doing the steps and trying to live a spiritual life, that'll be the person you become. It says our book is meant to be suggestive only, but the suggestions are pretty powerful, right? It suggests that if you want to live, this might be something that's good to do. It says we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Anybody agree with that?
Amen.
Now, how does He do that? Well, we're on prayer and meditation. And this is how God constantly discloses more to you and us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. You're not asking Him what you can do each day for me, or how He can help me or be my co-pilot. It's all focused on serving others and serving God. Matt reminded me that I said the greatest gift in sobriety is the ability to help others. And I believe that. The answers will come to your prayer and meditation if my house is in order. Now, how do you get your house in order? It says the purpose of this big book is to put my life in order. I need to put my life in order with God with steps 1, 2, 3, right with my mind in steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, right with the world in 8 and 9. And then I live in step 10 in the world of the Spirit. But you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So it suggests that you get this. And here it is, see to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. Now, if your relationship with God is not right, bad events will come to pass for you. It's a guarantee. And for other people, because you're going to affect them. So how do you get your relationship with God right? You pray, you inventory, and you meditate. Steps 10 and 11 is how you keep and maintain a fit spiritual condition, how you grow in understanding and effectiveness. And this is the great fact for us. This is the great fact for anybody in the room. It's a great fact. It's a gift. So abandon yourself to God as you understand God. All of you, I suggest, abandon all of yourself to God. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows, and you do that all the time. That's why you have sponsors. That's why you have people you talk to. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Do steps 4 through 9 and give freely of what you find. Work with others and join us. You see how all the steps are in like 3 lines. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. Now, fellowship of the Spirit is in the Scriptures. And we're not talking about fellowship of AA. We're talking about fellowship of the Spirit. People together, seeking God, living together, walking in the Spirit, seeking to be what the Creator desires for us. And you will surely meet some of us if you trudge the road of happy destiny. And then in the 12 and 12, there's a thing here on page 98, and you don't have to turn to it, on step 11, which is what we're doing today. It says there's a direct linkage between self-examination, step 10, meditation and prayer, steps 10 and 11. Taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit. But here's a line I really like. But they, when they are logically related, interwoven, the result is an unshakable foundation for life. Because if you do prayer, meditation, inventory, you will have a relationship with your Creator. You have a relationship with God. And you will have a way of life that works. And then let's turn to page 86. Page 85 is where step 11 starts. They tell us that we should pray. It works if we have the right attitude. The first paragraph of page 86 I spent one whole meeting on. I'm not going to review it, but it talks about when you retire at night, you constructively review your day. And you're going to basically do steps 4 through 9 at night and look at the day. So after you make your review, you can ask God's forgiveness and inquire from God what corrective measures should be taken to stay on the path undisturbed tomorrow, right? Then they start with the nighttime review, and then we wake up. And then they give the instructions for when you wake up. It starts with a warning. It says, when you wake up, don't consider your plans for the day, because they're your plans. Stop. And it says, ask God to direct your thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Powerful. Anybody do that? I do it every morning, except when I forget, and I try not to forget. If I forget, I'm thinking about myself, and then I remember, hello, you forgot to do the prayer. Because it's a simple thing, but it's a sign that I need humility, I need God, I need to surrender, I need to seek Him all day long, like Courtney mentioned. And it's my motives that gets me in trouble, because my motives were always good. Remember on page 61, our motives were always good. Good for who? For me. And they got me a wristband, they got me a seat at the table, they got me an unmanageable life and misery and defeat. But God appeared to me on February 8th at 2:30 in the afternoon. And how did God appear to me? I heard this. God first appeared to me when I had the gift of desperation. It was a gift, G-O-D. And that gift of desperation helped me see the truth about myself. And I could see there were only two alternatives to face, go on the bitter end and die, or live a spiritual life. And I said, God, help me. And I must admit, I felt better immediately. I had no idea what was going to happen, and I was full of fear. My life was a complete effing mess. There's no other way to describe it. But once I said it and got on my knees, I got on my knees in the hallway there, and I said, God, help me, I felt better. And I said, I'm gonna get help. And I went to sister, and she helped me, and I'm here today. So my motives have to be God-centered. Now, if I have self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives, how do I know to do the next right thing? I don't. The next right thing has to be God's next God thing. I can't be in charge anymore. I have to go to God all the time. And it says, under these conditions, so now, if I've divorced my thinking from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives, then I can use my mind. Why? Because it's aligned with God's will. It's such a simple program, and they outline it so beautifully in these pages, but you have to do it. And I can employ my faculties, for God gave us brains to use. So you get your brains back on page 86. So what they're saying is you can't use your brains till you get to 86. So a lot of people stay on page 20, and their life doesn't get better. Well, nothing's better. Well, hello, you're not on page 86. Go use your brain yet. And why do we have sponsors? So the sponsor can look at our brains and tell us, don't use it right now. Use this idea. Because that's how God helps us. He sends messengers to us. Our thought life, now here it is, my thought life, not my life out there. My life out there is always okay. It's my thought life that's a mess. If I don't like something out there, it's because my thought life tells me it's no good. Now that's not God. God just says, Michael, this is the situation. Here's how you're going to deal with it. And I say, I don't like the situation, God. Here's how I want to deal with it. So God says, okay, I'm a gentleman. Go do it, Michael. Tell me how it works. And it doesn't work. So my thought life is placed in a much higher plane. The plane is serving God when my thinking is cleared of wrong motives. They use this motives twice. So a lot of people say, what's my vision of God's will for me? Well, it has to be divorced from your selfish motives. It has to be a vision of God's will. And I like to use the St. Francis prayer, and I'm going to talk to that about it in a little bit. Now, in thinking about our day, you're in bed, you're thinking about your day, you may face indecision. I may face indecision today. And so I'm going to think about it. I may not determine what course to take. And this has happened a lot, and I've begun to use this for several years. I didn't use this because I hadn't studied the book. But I use this a lot because I'll wake up and there's something on my mind or some situation, and I'll say, well, you know, I don't have to have the answer right now. Now, for me, that's a spiritual awakening. I'll say, God, give me the right thought, intuitive thought, decision, or inspiration. I'm giving it to you, God, and I don't have to decide right now. I use the God box, too. I don't have to use it too much anymore because I do the prayers, and I don't want to waste time writing out something that I need to give to God. I take the actions. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. Conscious awakening, the right answer. Does this make sense? Now, the right answers come if I've put my self-will out of it. If I keep my self-will and I'm wanting God to tell me what I want to do is okay, that's not always good for me. Because then God can't give me the right answer because I'm holding on to what I think I need to do. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. So you got your mind back and you're using it. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, that's the whole deal. Making conscious contact with God, it's not probably going to be inspired all times. Now, step 11 is how we improve this relationship with God all the time. And we only ask for two things: knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry out His will for me. And so I make it complicated because I used to pray to God for knowledge of how He would help me with my will for me and give me the power to carry that out. That didn't work too well. It takes a while to understand these simple principles. We might pray for this presumption, all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. I've had people come up to me, they're fairly new, and they've made a decision that they tell me is God's will, and you look at them, you don't know what to say, because it's completely preposterous. And you don't know what to say. So I say, well, I hope that works out for you. Did you pray about it? I said, you might want to pray some more. Now, they may ask your advice. You can only give them your experience. But as you get better, it says, nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more in the plane of inspiration. I want my thinking to be on the plane of inspiration from God's thoughts, powers, ideas, actions. And so my actions will be the result of the conscious thoughts that I get from God and His will for me. Nevertheless, we find our thinking, we come to rely upon it. So do people here, and you can talk about when we open up, do you rely upon God? Do you go to God? Do you try to get humbled and keep yourself out of it and go to God with the situation and ask his intuitive thought, His decision, His inspiration? And you get better because I know now if I'm disturbed, I have to go right to God. There's no two ways about it. If I'm bothered or disturbed or worried or angry or anything, I have to go right to God. It says, we usually conclude, this is where we picked up from last week, the period of meditation. Now here's the line that isn't read next. This is a period of meditation with a prayer. And here's one of the powerful prayers that they suggest in the Big Book. I pray, God, show me all through the day whatever my next step is to be. Not what I want to think is the next step. I spent my whole life deciding what the next step should be, and it made my life unimaginable. And so you recognize that if you do your four step. It's pretty easy. You see it. You can see your thinking. You can see your fears and your wrongs. So I try to do that meditation, but I try to say the prayer all throughout the day. Like people say, what's my next step to be right now? Now, the Big Book gives you suggestions. It says, turn your thoughts to someone you could help. Right? Love and tolerance. If you practice love and tolerance and you're turning your thoughts away from yourself all the time, your life's going to be good. And it says, the next thing, I ask a prayer, God, give me whatever I need to take care of such problems. Now, isn't that getting knowledge of his will for us, right? And the power to carry it out. It's just worded differently. I'd be given, God, give me whatever I need to take care of such problems, whatever I see as a situation or problem. Give me the whatever I need. Now, remember on page 63, after we made a decision that God was going to be our director, anybody think that's a good decision? It says there's a contract with God. Anybody have it in their book? It says, God will give me everything I need. And he signs it. And then he says, but you have to stay close to me and do my work well. So how do I stay close to God? Through prayer and meditation. And then through prayer and meditation, he gives me the how I should serve him and what I should do. And then he has worry, by the way. I think that's the best contract I've ever had written for me. Then here's another prayer. Third one, I ask especially for freedom from self-will. Isn't that the prayer we say, step three? Relieve me from the bondage of self. So I ask especially for that. I have to remember, freedom from self-will, and I'm careful to make no requests for myself only. Why? I don't know what I need. My whole life was centered on what I thought I needed. I don't know about you, but my whole life was summarized on page 61. It said I had a delusion. That means my thinking was deranged. It wasn't based on reality. That if I managed the world well, I would be happy. Anybody else have that? And I believed it. It made a mess of my life. Then here's another prayer. There's six prayers here. I ask for myself, however, if others will be helped. Now, that doesn't mean get me a new Mercedes because it'll be more comfortable to take people to the meetings. It doesn't mean that. It says, ask for myself, however, if others be helped. And in my vision each day is, how can I be helpful to other people? And give me whatever I need to be able to do that. It says, we are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Another prayer, many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that and it doesn't work. Now, the other thing about these prayers is God already knows what I need. All I need to do is align myself with what God is going to help me do because he knows what I need. And so I don't have to worry about what I need. I just have to learn how to be close to God and know what his will for me and give me the power to carry that out. What I need anymore isn't really important. Because when I decide what I need, that's back itself, isn't it? And then that's an expectation. And then the expectation becomes a resentment. And then I'm separated from God. And I wrote here, God will work for me when I stop managing. If I'm still managing the team, God won't manage the team. He's very gracious. He won't step in and say, stop managing. Now, what we're going to read on the next page is what he does is he lets me manage, and things get really bad. And then I turn to him. He says, okay, come back here, Michael, and we'll take care of this. That's the story, essentially. The prodigal son is the story of my alcoholism, which I'll do a meeting on sometime, but not today. You're all happy about that. If circumstances warrant, We ask our wives or friends or husband to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few such prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. And I'm going to look at the St. Francis prayer in a second. I use that. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions may be obtained from one's priest, management, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. Now, has anybody ever heard this? It says, rarely have we seen a person fail who's thoroughly followed our path. Has anybody ever heard that read? 18,000 times. All right, what was their path? Now remember, they didn't have a big book. What was their path? Their path was the scriptures. Their path was the book of James, Sermon on the Mount, 1 Corinthians 13. And that's what they used, book of James. And that's what they used. They had quiet time, prayer and meditation. They studied Oswald Chambers' sermon, Utmost to the Highest. They had that God calling. They had several meditation books, and this is what they used. They didn't have the big book. They had some information from the Oxford groups. And so we, some people are, don't think we should talk about like the scriptures, and I don't know, but that's what they used. The first meeting Dr. Bob did, he read Sermon on the Mount, put his feet up in Akron, got the Bible out. There were eight people around the table when they started the first meeting where they separated from the Oxford group. I'm not saying that's good or bad, but that was the path. It was because they were seeking God. It wasn't that they were excluding anyone. They were using these passages to seek God to live a spiritual life. It doesn't say you have to be a Christian to be in AA or anything like that, but this is what they used. They studied spiritual principles from a spiritual book. And isn't that what we're doing today? We're trying to do spiritual principles from a spiritual book. And the St. Francis prayer, I like it. It says, Lord, make me a channel of thy peace. It's on the back of those cards I give out, but we haven't printed any. We've had some grandchildren visiting and our lives have been unmanageable. Thank you, Mark. I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Yeah, you helped me a lot. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, so I want to be a channel of God's peace. Isn't that a vision of God's will for me? That I may bring, that where there's hatred, I may bring love. Remember, I've talked a lot, at least for me, how I be, what I bring is what I get. And so I want to bring love. Where there's wrong, I want to bring a spirit of forgiveness. Now, who decides that there's wrong? That was me a lot. So I want to be able to forgive. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there's doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek what I want to seek is rather the comfort than to be comforted. I don't want to be comforted. I want a comfort. To understand than to be understood. I don't want to be understood and comforted. To love than to be loved, for it is by self-forgetting that one finds. So I want to self-forget, so I find things. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. Isn't that the principle we talk about all the time? Forgive everyone. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. So the St. Francis prayer to me, and that's why it's in the step 11 and the 12 of 12, because it symbolizes to me how we're supposed to be. So it says, I must carry a vision of God's will in all my activities. I think this is a good vision for me. I read this every day, and I have it almost memorized. But I like to read it off the card. I like to look at the right and left-hand side and then turn it over and read the card. So now we're getting to the end of the instructions on the steps, really. And it's going to be summarized in the next three paragraphs. What the steps are all about. It says, as I go through the day, anybody have a day they go through, right? We're all alive this morning, so we're going to go through the day. It doesn't say alcoholics or non-alcoholics or how long you've been sober or anything. As you go through the day, I pause. Now, pausing is a powerful word. It means I pause. I stop. I get into the now with God, which is the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity, and serenity is in the now at peace with God. And it says, I pause when agitated or doubtful. Now, they're nice here. They say when you're pissed off or you're worried or you're disturbed or you're bothered or anything is taking you away from the now in your mind, you pause. Why? The pausing helps me stop my thinking. And it helps stop my thinking because it's based on self-centered motives because I don't like things. And I have to pause and get to God. It's the vertical, right, Gary? It's going right to God, pausing when I'm agitated or doubtful. It doesn't say to wait a while and then pause. It doesn't say send the email and then pause, send the text. It says pause right away. And if you do that, your life will get better because we're all going to get agitated or doubtful. It doesn't say you may get it. It says when you get it, you need the pause. So this is the summary of how to live one day at a time with the Lord, with God, with that who has all power. Pause when agitated or doubtful. And then I ask. This is a simple prayer. Ask for the right thought or action. This is basically do the next right thing, the next God thing. It's how to get centered on God. Pause whenever you're separated from Him and ask for the next right thought or action. And I combine that with the 6 and 7 step. I know I'm on the left-hand side. I'm either selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, intolerant, judgmental. You know the list. And I say, God, I'm going to pause now. Get me on the right-hand side. Change the way I'm seeing things. Change my character right now to be God-centered. And then you're supposed to constantly, what does it mean by constantly? Constantly remind yourself you are no longer running the show. See, they think they're funny, but we're always running the show. So we have to remind ourselves all day long that we're not running the show. Now, when do I do that? When I'm running the show. See, when I'm running the show, I don't feel good. So I have to remind myself you're no longer running the show. Anybody ever get intolerant of somebody they're living with or somebody they have a relationship with, they bother them about something? Well, there you go. Constantly reminding yourself you're no longer running the show. And when you're bothered by them, they're running your show. And it says, humbly saying to ourselves, humbly is another key word, humility, seeking God, His will be done. Humbly saying, not like giving lip service to, but humbly saying because we know we need His power, saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. That's in quotation marks. I think that's in the scriptures, I believe. Thy will be done. Goodbye, Mark. We are then in much less danger of excitements, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. For those listening on the podcast, we have a few smart alecks in here. We are then in much less danger, because I'll still have danger, but I love you, Mark. We're much less danger of excitement. Anybody get excited? Fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. Those are the dangers of a life run on self-will. So if anybody says, what does a life run on self-will look like? It's dangerous excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. Now, who wants that? Do you wake up one morning and say, God, give me excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions? No. But you're in danger of that when you're running the show. And you're in danger of that when you don't pause. And when you're not pausing, you are having excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. See how it all ties together? It's like three lines. It summarizes everything we're supposed to do all day long the rest of our life. And you combine that with the prayers and the meditations that they just gave you on 2 pages. It's pretty simple the way they break it down. We do not tire so easily. We're more efficient. I was very inefficient. I was very efficient at screwing things up. I was efficient at getting anger, worried, fear, self-pitiful decision, but I wasn't efficient. I was tired. Was anybody tired when they came in here? I was so tired. I was so exhausted. And the one thing I noticed when I asked God to help me is I was a little bit less tired. And now I don't have to be tired. I feel good today. I have energy. For we're not burning energy up foolishly As we did, we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. There it is again, the delusion on page 61. We are not burning up energy foolishly as I did when I was trying to arrange life to suit myself. And did it work? No. The more I tried to manage, the worse my life got. And then it says it works, the guide idea works, this works, the steps work, because remember we said how it works, we read it tonight, and then they end on page 88 with, this is the end of step 11 before we get to step 12, it does work. So we start with how it works in the instructions on page 58, we end up on 88, 30 pages to change your life. 30 pages, think about it, you can hold it up. 30 pages, that's, you do everything in 30 pages to change your life. It's guaranteed. I heard somebody say on a speaker tape that he told his sponsor that it's not working. He was sober 2 years and it just wasn't working. You know, things weren't going the way he wanted, blah, blah, blah. So he said, you're rarely. And that made a lot of sense. There are people who don't follow the path, and if you're rarely, then this is what happens. But if you follow the path, it works, it really does. It says we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. I wonder what they mean by that. What do they mean? It means that when I separate from God, and I'm back in Michael and my will and self-will, I don't feel good. I have excitement, fear, worry, anger, self-pity, and foolish decisions. And God lets me do this. He'll let us be completely miserable. You can pray all morning. You can recite the whole New Testament in big book. And you go out in the world, and you can make a mess of it. And he lets us do it. But when we come back to him, he's there. He loves us. And so it's all a question of getting off the beam and on the beam all day long the rest of your life. And this is how, in the simple way we just outlined, we just went through how you do that. But this is not all. There's action, more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. I just say works is not meetings. It is love and tolerance to all of letting God demonstrate what he can do through his grace. I wrote that playing the role he assigns and doing it is the work. I experienced the fellowship people of the Spirit, people recovered, helping others, carrying the message. I received God's grace, and here's what I heard somebody said, but do I experience the power that gives me the grace? Think about that. We all have the grace of God to come in here, right? But we want a spiritual experience. We want to experience the power that gave me grace. And I wrote, faith implies trust, knowledge, and experience of God's power. Faith from God doing for me what I cannot do for myself. Faith leads to the service of God and his children. And I wrote, if not practicing the principle of serving others in God and doing his work well, my faith will die and I'll be back in self. So I went over a little. I hope you'll forgive me. And these are powerful pages. I did write three thoughts on faith without works is dead. Somebody read them and tell me if it was any good. It's on the site. For the new people, we have a site, experiencethebigbook.org. We have all the podcasts. Thank you, everybody.